Welcome to the Road of Faith, my friend. This is Ken Fletcher, and I'm so glad that you decided to join me today on today's seminar here on the Road of Faith. We're so thankful for you, and we believe that this seminar is going to be a great blessing to your life, so we hope that you'll stay with us throughout the whole seminar and just glean from the good things that the Lord is doing throughout this whole thing here. So stay with me. And we're in the book of Ephesians right now. We're looking at who we are in Christ and what Father has done, what God has done when he raised Jesus from the dead, and all of the things that's happening in us now, the things that we've hooked up with, the things that we're just trying to wrap our minds around it, about the enormity of it all, because it's huge. This thing that we have with the Lord seems like the more you learn, the more you understand, the bigger it gets. So, and that's the way it is in this book of Ephesians. This book blows my mind every time I read in here. I get in here and I think about the enormity of what the Lord has done, what the enormity of what Father has done and set into motion, and what has caused us to be a part of this. Now, this is just amazing what he has done to bring us into this oneness relationship with him. Oh, man, it's big. So we're just going to get right on in here. As a matter of fact, I think today we're going to read from the top of the chapter there where we didn't read. And so we're going to read from the top of the chapter on down to where we left off, I believe, last week. So let's start here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Praise God. Having predestinated us, did I pronounce that right? Having predestinated, yeah, that's right, us into the adoption of children by Jesus. I'm going to read that again. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's all about God, isn't it? All about what he did. Amen. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Verse 15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, I believe we finished off there in verse 21 last week in looking at these tremendous, powerful verses of reality and truth. And so let's read verse 21 again. Far above. Now, when he raised Christ from the dead, he put him above all things, far above, which he wrought. See, verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, everybody. There's nothing even close to what Father has done in Jesus. Amen. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now notice verse 22 here, and hath put all things under his feet. All things. All things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Glory to God. Well, we get to be a part of these things. Isn't that a beautiful, that's a beautiful thought that the Lord has included us. Father has included us in the whole plan that we would be subject to the head, our Lord Jesus, but we get to be involved with what he's involved with. Wow, that's an amazing thought that we get to be involved in the things that he's involved in. Well, that's what we're doing down here. We're involved with him, in union with him, in doing what he wants to do as the head. So we want to follow that. Whatever that is in our lives, we know it's going to be the best, and it's going to be eternal. It's going to be the will of God. Praise God. That's what I want. That's what I want to experience. Amen. In verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet. Well, who's the feet? Well, the body's in the feet, right? Your feet are in a part of your body. And it is the lowest, I guess you could say, it's the lowest point of the body, right? The feet, the soles of the feet that stand on the floor or whatever, the lowest part of the body is the soles of our feet, right? What's with the Lord, the lowest part of his body is the soles of his feet. And we are part of his body. So that means that the lowest part, if you happen to be on the soles of the feet of Jesus, well, that's a wonderful place to be if you're functioning as the feet of Jesus. Oh, praise God. Think about that. Functioning as the feet of Jesus. Well, you're his body. You could be an arm. You could be a finger. You could be an eye. You could be a nose. You could be a little toe. You could be, but whatever part you are, boy, it's good to be. It's a great part because Father has put all things under his feet. So that means the lowest part, let's say you're the soles of the feet there of the Lord, and that's your function in the body of Christ, man, you're part of him and you are his soles of his feet. Now, see there, it says that Father has raised him up, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. All things. So that means if you know, far above. If you're the soles of the feet, you're far above. You're far above. You know why? Because you're part of him. You're part of him. And you're part of the plan, and you're part of, and you're functioning in your function in the body of Christ. But he's the head, and boy, we get to listen, and we get to follow along and do and function along with what he wants to get done as the head. Praise God. Put all things under his feet. All things, man. That is what a statement. All things are under his feet, under our feet now, under our feet now, because we're joined with the Lord and he's joined with us. And so his feet's my feet, you know, his head's my head. He is mine. I'm his. We're part of him. He's part of me. So if I'm the soles of the feet, my goodness, that's a wonderful place to be. Oh boy, just to be the soles of the feet of the Lord. And because the Father has raised us up, us, the whole body he's raised up, and put all things under his feet, all things under the body. Glory to God. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. You see that? Now see, he's the head, he's our head, and we are the body, and we get our directions and daily from him, from the head. Glory to God. What he wants to get done today, what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. What a privilege it is to do that. Glory to God. Amen. And verse 22 goes on to say, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which is his body. And that clarifies it, doesn't it? Talks about all things under his feet. That God has raised him up above all things. And it says here, over all things to the church, which is his body. So we are with him. We are with him. He's with us. Glory to God. And it's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him flows in us. Every part of the body, the fullness of him, his life, his wisdom, his direction, his authority. All of those things flow through the whole body. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And now we're going into chapter 2 here. Verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened. Of course, we know that these letters were not done in chapters and verses, you know. But they are, so we divided them up into verses and so that we can, you know, have a reference place to us, so we all know where to go, you know. So here we are in chapter 2 of Ephesians, but it continues on past the chapter dividers here. He's continuing on with the same thought. It says here, and hath put all things, verse 22, hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church. This is what Father has done. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you hath he quickened or made alive. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we were dead to God, basically. We were separated from God. But now that we've received Jesus and his life flows in us, he has quickened us or made us alive with him, with the Lord. When he raised him from the dead, we were raised from the dead. Amen. That's where we identify with his life right there. We identify with his death, with the old man when we came to the cross. My goodness, we came to the cross. And we realize that he did all that for us, that he suffered and died for us. For our generation, for our regeneration, for our good, for our salvation, for us to come into the body. And this is what he's talking about. The things that he has done, he brought us, he had a purpose in that he wanted to bring us into this oneness with him and oneness with the Father. Praise God. And verse 1 of chapter 2 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein, verse 2 says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's it talking about? The devil, you know, the demons. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So they're working with these evil spirits, you know, with the devil, basically. Wherein in times past we were there. That's where we were. That's where we were. In times past, we walked according to the course of this world. We didn't know. No, we didn't know. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's where we were in times past, but not so now. Glory to God. And it says here, among whom also we had our conversation, or you could say your manner of life in times past. That's what we were. That's what we had. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Well, you can see the separation right there. You know where we were? We were abiding in death. Amen. Without God in the world. That's where we were. We were without God. But God, in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So when he raised Jesus up, we were raised up. And how did we identify with that? We identified by faith in what he did and why he did it, and we received that as our own. And we believe that this is the work of God. Yes, we do. And through faith, we access that which the Lord has done for us. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together, hath quickened us together with Christ. So we're with him. His life. God has raised us from the dead. Praise God. Amen. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at this. All these previous verses talk about what the Father did when he raised Jesus from the dead and has set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, right next to his throne. And he goes on to specify, man, it's so far above. Jesus is so far above all principality and power and all might and dominion and every name that is named. He's far above, far above. Oh, praise God, in might and dominion. And we get to share this with him. Amen. He's the head. We're the body. And we share everything that he won, everything that he is, everything that happened to him. We share in that. And look at this. Father has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly place. We're sitting with Christ right now, positionally. What does that mean? Well, it means we're pretty close to the Father. We've got the ear of the Father. That means we're sitting right there with Christ. In the heavenly places, we've been raised up together. That's where we are now. See, that's tough for the believer to get his mind wrapped around and say, well, I'm down here on earth and, you know, and I'm not up there in heaven yet, but I'm here on the earth. And so I don't feel like I'm sitting above all things. Well, it doesn't really matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It just matters what God has said about it and what he has done. And if you have received Jesus as your Lord and you've received him and his life, then you've received all this. This is all yours. This is all true about you. Oh, boy, when he's talking about Jesus being raised and sitting next to the Father, right there it is, has raised us up together. He doesn't mince words here. He's raised us up together. We're together with him there and made us sit together. In other words, positionally, we're there together with the Lord right now. Positionally speaking, as far as the Lord, as far as the Father is looking at us, he's looking at us the same way he's looking at Jesus now. The same way. Jesus is the head, we're the body, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together. Glory to God. Sit together. Man, this is where we are with God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We are sitting here. We are positionally in this place with the Lord right now, next to the Father. Right there with the Father. Glory to God, we've been included in this amazing thought that we've been raised up together to sit together in these heavenly places with the Lord. That's where we are. Well, we need to approach things from that standpoint now, from this place that we are, where we're sitting. We need to approach life from this place. It's far above now. It's far above all principality, all power. See, now you think you got trouble with the devil? You think Jesus had trouble with the devil? He doesn't. He don't have trouble with the devil no more. Amen. He don't have any trouble with the devil anymore. And because he's far above. Amen. So now we're the ones that exercise our authority over the devil here in this life. And because we're far above him, we have much, much, much more power and dominion than he does. And so we need to understand and learn what we have in order to implement it in this life. Yes, we do. Praise his name forever. Thank you, Jesus. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us or made us alive together by Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that verse? Man, that's a big one. Are you sitting there? Are you sitting there with Christ in the heavenly places? Are you? He says so here. Father, that's what this says here. We're raised together. He raised us together and made us sit together. This was his plan. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In verse 7 says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Boy, we're going to get to see these things. We're going to get to see his grace as the ages roll on. And he's going to show us more and more what this means to be here with him. Well, it means a lot, man. It means a whole lot, a lot of things. Now, of course, we don't realize it like we're going to realize it later, but the whole reason that he's putting it in the book here is for us to get a handle on what we got a hold of here and us to be exposed to what he's done and the truth of it. I'm telling you what, if you get a hold of these truths in your life, I mean, we're talking about here these first couple of chapters of Ephesians here, if you just meditate on them, pray the prayer, assimilate these things, these truths into your being, it changes who you view yourself as. It changes the reality of way things are with you and God. In other words, it changes your perception of what you've got. But it's dwelling in these truths that enables your eyes to be enlightened. You see, as we were reading earlier in the prayer, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. We need enlightenment now because we don't understand the greatness and the magnitude of all this. Not like we should. And we need to come into an understanding of it in this life in order to do the work of God, and in order to stay in victory in our own lives and to understand what's happening here on this earth realm and this matrix and all the goofy stuff's going on down here, we need to not be distracted, and we need to just, we're going to stay focused on what we know that Father has done. We need to stay focused on what he has done and where we are with the Lord. Do we think about ourselves being seated in heavenly places in Christ? Next, right there, next to the right hand of the Father, right at the right hand of the Father. But we're there. He said we're there. Right there it is. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. That's what he's done. Whether you realize it or not, that's what he's done. And that's where you are. Whether you realize it or not, that's where you are. That's where I am. In Christ. Everyone that's in Christ now. So the thing is, we need to wrap our minds and get our minds renewed about the truth of who we are and what we've got with God and who we are in Christ. I mean, we share with him now. We are unified with him. We are infused with him. We are blended with him. And that's why we sit together with him. Praise God. Father did this. Now, this was his plan all along. Boy, it's big. Man, it's big. It's huge. And it changes the way you see things. It changes the way you perceive things in this life, you see, when you view the truth. Now, of course, when we drop this flesh, we go home. We're going to see this full on. We're going to know it full on. We're going to understand it full on. We're going to get it. So, but right now, we're partially understanding it. because of the cloudiness, because of the fog that we're dealing with here in this natural realm, the fallen realm. So we're partially getting our minds wrapped around this. We're partially understanding it. But then, man, it's going to be full on. They're not going to be any partial stuff there. But here we see it, we read it, but it takes faith to understand it. It takes faith to believe it and to walk in it and to live it. You got to believe this stuff. Well, you could live your whole life and not believe any of this. You could receive Jesus. I mean, theoretically, you could receive Jesus, and God has done all these things that we just described here in these chapters. And but you don't know any of these things, or perhaps you had never looked at it, or perhaps you see it's not been revealed to you. The eyes of your understanding haven't been enlightened. But do you have it? Yeah, you still have it. but you don't know what to do with it. Not down here. You don't know what to do with it because you don't understand these things. Well, we want to get our place, get our minds renewed to the degree where we can be useful down here and be working and let the Lord use us and work through us and help somebody, you know, somebody that we're working with or somebody that, you know, our neighbor or friend, who, you know, that we can be effective and do things for him as his body while we're here in this life, you know. But you've got it all now, you know. Well, we're wanting to expand our understanding. We want to get a hold of the reality of what he's done in us, because then we can live in reality in the midst of deception that's going on all around us. And in the midst of a fallen body, we can understand some of these things and walk in them and live in and dominate this body, you see, with these truths and what we have. Praise God. What God has done in us and how he's joined us. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He has raised us up together and made us sit together. Man, what a verse. Raised us up together with Jesus. Yes, he did. And made us sit together. Yes, he did. I don't care what anybody says. I'm sitting with Jesus right there. I said it. I mean, I see it. I believe it. I accept it regardless of what people say here, regardless of what I may think before about it, regardless of what I may have thought in the past about it. If I look at this and I accept him as truth, if I accept this as truth, and I do, then that means that in actuality, I'm sitting with Jesus next to the Father right now as I'm sitting before you. You say, how's that possible? Well, through the Spirit. It's possible. That's where we are with God. That's where we're sitting with the Father right now. That's how he's looking at us. Now, how's he going to look at you as being seated next to him and he's going to condemn you? You see, some people think, well, he's going to condemn you for doing something wrong. No, according to this is where we are. And according to the way he said it, that's where we are. Now, he's not looking at you in a condemning way. No, that's impossible. When you've been seated next to him in Christ, is he going to condemn Christ? Is he going to condemn Jesus? Well, he ain't going to condemn you either, because you're in him. You're in Christ. Praise God. Glory to God. And verse 7 says, and in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Oh, my goodness. The kindness, the grace that did this. Wow. What a God. What a Father. Wow. And we're going to praise him throughout eternity because we, you know, what he did for us, in us, through us, through Christ. Wow. Amen. For, goes on to say, verse 7 says, in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now we've, you know, this particular verse has been taken right out of here. But what a verse, what a tremendous truth this is. The fact that we've been saved by grace, there's your works had nothing to do with it. No, it didn't. Because it was the grace of God that raised you up and seated you with Christ. It was the grace of God. Yes, it was that plan of redemption. The grace of God is why we're there. Amen. For by grace you are saved through faith. Makes it real plain, don't it? Through faith, we believe in His grace and we're saved because of what He did, because of His grace and our faith in it. Amen. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Man, we didn't have nothing to do with this. We have nothing to do with this amazing work of God that He worked in us and made us right. We didn't have nothing to do with that. This whole plan, we had nothing to do with it, because we are the ones that we're on the outside looking in, right? And yet He invited us, opened it up for us by His grace, by His plan. And we found out about it and we entered into it by faith. We believed in His grace, in His love, and what He has done for us. And we entered into it and we received it. And we have been raised with Jesus. My goodness sakes. Raised with Him to sit with Him and be there. Amen. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace, because, that should be a because, you know. For means because, I think. Here, because by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This whole thing we're talking about here, this whole plan of redemption, what He has done, when He raised Jesus from the dead, He was also raised from the dead. What is it? We just believe. We just, by His grace, we believed it. And He did it in us. For by grace you're saved, not by works. Amen. Raised us up. And made us sit together in heavenly places, that in ages come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Boy, that's a truth. It is. It is. What is it? All of this. As far as we're concerned, all of this is the gift of God to us. All of this, the gift of God. Wow. Praise His name forever. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of what you can do, lest any man should boast. Well, we've got nothing to boast about on this. This is all the work of God. All the work of God, and we simply entered into it through faith, and we believed it and entered into it. So we didn't do nothing to deserve any of this. We didn't do anything to cause this to happen. No, we found out about it and saw that it was the Father opened it up for us. Yes, we're going to say, yes, Lord, count me in. I want in on this. Oh, yes, I do. And so that's what we did. That was our part. We just jumped into it. It was a yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But this is the work of God, man. And we can't boast about it. You know, how in the world are we going to boast about it? The only thing we can boast in is Jesus. That's what we can boast in. We can make our boast in the Lord and what He has done for people. And so we boast about what He's done for us. And we just got in on it. Well, we want everybody to get in on it. Everybody I don't know about you, but everybody I know, and I'm trying to get them in on it. I am trying to figure a way, you know, I'm trying to be led. I'm trying to see how the Lord wants me to talk to people, because I want them to get in this. I want them to be involved in this too. This is for them too. And so belongs to them just as much as it does you and me. And so even though they don't know it belongs to them, well, they've got to receive it before they can get it. But God did it for them, just like he did you and me. So we want to get that message to them, what God has done, the great things that he's done for them, and help them to see the reality of what he's done for them, the reality of Jesus, the reality of all of this. Well, it's heavenly. Yes, it is, but it's more than heavenly. I mean, he came down here. Jesus came for us. And so he brought heaven down with him. And so that we could connect with that. Hey, man, we could connect with him and escape all of this, and this not dominate our life anymore. All this outward, fallen realm stuff in our body and everything else that's fallen. Praise God. He has delivered us, praise God, from this. And brought us and raised us up together. Thank you, Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. I don't care how good you do. I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care anything about that. It says right here, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it don't matter how good a person you are. Without Jesus, it ain't good enough. You see what I'm saying? With God, he has a pretty high standard of righteousness. And for us to enter in, we need to enter into his righteousness. That he says that we're right with God when we receive Jesus. He says that we're right with him. We have right standing with him. So much so that when he raised Jesus up, he raised us up together with Jesus and sat us with Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. That's where we are, with him. Praise God. Of course, we take our orders from the head. Amen. We just don't go flying off and doing stuff without the head telling us what to do. How are we going to know what to do right? See? Well, we're not the head. That's why. But he is. And so we take our directions from him and how he wants to do things, where he wants to go, how he wants to do. So I'm just wanting to stay right in that perfect will of my master, who is my head. If I can stay in his will, oh my goodness, we're going to get some results down here. Amen. We're going to see some things down here. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see people come to the Lord. Praise God. We're going to see people come into the knowledge of an understanding of what he's done in them. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Wow. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But you see that? We're his workmanship. He did this. He created this in us. Look at that. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. Amen. With Jesus. In Jesus. He in us. Us in him. Amen. Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Of course, we're talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, the separation there that was present. Amen. The covenant, the Jews had the covenant with God. You remember, because he made that covenant with Abraham. Amen. So we see how that they had a covenant and the Gentiles didn't back then. They didn't have a covenant with God. Amen. It says, wherefore remember that in times past Gentiles in the flesh, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. See, the Jewish people were the circumcised ones, and the Gentiles were the uncircumcised ones. See, there was a separation there. Amen. The covenant with the Jews with the circumcision meant they had a covenant with God. The uncircumcised did not have a covenant with God. You see that? Amen. So that's where we were in times past as Gentiles, you see. And at that time, ye were without Christ. Now listen to this, that at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So those covenants that God had, that he had made with Israel, with Abraham, and that is, and the descendants of Abraham, you see that? Those covenants, Gentiles did not have that. Look at that. At that time you were without Christ. Look at that. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens from, they wasn't a part of it. Gentiles weren't a part of it. And strangers from the covenants of promise. See that? We didn't have it. But look what happens here. Let me read that verse 12 again. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. That's where we were. But now in Christ Jesus, you were, sometimes were far off. That's us. That's me. You who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now we're close. How close are we? We're sitting right next to the Father, according to this. We are right there next to the Father positionally with Christ. Glory to God. Amen. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. See that? All that has been broken down between the Jew and the Gentile. All that's broken down now with God. And he's making, he joined the Jew and the Gentile together, that we'd be what's the word? We're supposed to be joined with them and get what they get. See, I struggle with these words sometimes. But I want to get out here that the fact that God has broken down that wall that was between us, that we didn't have God in the world. We didn't have the covenants of promise that the Jews did. No, we didn't. And he's broken all that down. He said, no, I'm opening this up for everybody, every man, every woman. Glory to God. Amen. And I am out of time. Well, I tell you what, we're going to pick up next week where the Lord wants us to pick up here. But join me as more rich stuff comes out about who we are in Christ, what God has done through Christ. And this book of Ephesians, so rich, so much riches in here. So I'm hoping you're gleaning a lot of truth here from this wonderful, wonderful book of truth and revelation of who we are in Christ and what Father has done. So I hope you'll join me next week. And so this is Ken Fletcher saying, I love.